We've qualified for the World Cup. Go and compete.
Welcome to Season 2, Episode 1 of This Is Football. Loads of new ideas, new sponsorships, Trev. So what we'll do is we will get out the sponsorship. Tesco's Express, we're delighted to announce, have sponsored us. Big shout out to Jared, Sarda, Greg and Magna for getting behind us. We really appreciate it. Trev, we have new ideas. Do you want to jump in here and give me a dig out?
Well, you've kind of landed me in it. Yeah, so loads of ideas, loads of, well, kind of...
Well, we mentioned Scott first.
Yeah, well, that's actually
we have Scott's corner. We need actually a new name for Scott. Scott is coming on board as a League of Ireland pundit. Is that what we'll call you for the start?
Yeah, I'll do a bit of punditry. Yeah, maybe upgrade to expert during the halfway through the season.
Oh, he's confident. He's okay. So a new segment we're bringing into the show, which is League of Ireland. We're delighted to have Scott. So welcome, Scott.
Cheers, lads.
We have a professional on it. That's a nice change.
Yeah, well,
Scott Crawford, by the way, we haven't actually given the second name. I know a lot of people know him, but just we have to give him the full title. We won't mention the second name after that.
Yeah, but he is our social media guru who's out there getting a promotion now.
Well, the job landed on my lap.
Do we not have a six-month or a six-week trial?
Well, we've done it with you. You passed it, so we should be all right. Well,
yeah, okay, fair enough. Right, so, yeah, look, we're looking forward to we've a few new ideas. We've changed a few things around. Listen to a bit of feedback, and we're still open for a bit more. You know, it's never going to be perfect, but we'll if people want ideas looked at or thought of, just give us. We have Scott now on board, so we can just reach out to us on the socials or on our email address. This is footballafc@gmail.com, and all ideas are welcome once they're positive.
We're delighted to be announced as well that the second part of the show we have League of Ireland player. Conor Keighley, St. Pat's Athletic centre-back, he's coming up in the second part of the show. Really exciting interview we had with him last week. Scott, you're going to go through some of that with us as well. We get straight into...
Yeah, well, we just have a quick chat. I know we're going to come up with Conor, but I suppose, Scott, go straight over to you. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, he's... you know him well, you know, you grew up with him, you played ball with him, so, and you were obviously in to get him on the podcast, so, do you want to give us a bit of, like, before we actually hear from the man himself, what he was like growing up, and...
Yeah, look, myself and Conor, we know each other since play school, so, good mates at this stage, and, you know, always growing up, Conor was always fairly exceptional at the football, he played a year up with Kevin's, and it was fairly obvious that he was going to, you know, play at a very high level, and he's absolutely smashing it now at the League of Ireland. We'll touch on it later, but he made the team of the week in the first week of the League of Ireland, and he had a great performance. And we'll just get straight into it. So, Pats, they won 1-0 away to Galway. I was actually talking to Conor's dad, Brendan, at the weekend, and he said the conditions down there were horrible. It was just one of those games where you just had to get to 3 points and get out of there. Conor mentioned that the middle of the pitch was so bad that when you put your boot in, you couldn't see it.
Wow.
Like, it literally swallowed him up, like the turf monster. But look, Pat's got the win in the end. Jamie Lennon got the goal. It was came from a corner. It kind of just fell to him in the box. It was a lovely smashing finish off off the crossbar.
Yeah, I was actually watching that match on Friday night. The conditions looked terrible, the wind, the rain, it was horrible. They actually scored very early, I think it was the second or the third minute. And then it was a dogfest from the rest of it. There was not really much football, but as you said, Scott, it was all about getting the 3 points up there.
Awesome.
And to be fair to Conor, he was excellent. He was excellent.
I know it's easy for us to say that because we have him on the pod, but he made team of the week, so we obviously others agree. But you have to remember, they're going to a really bad weather. Looking at the match itself, the pitch, like what you're saying, Scott, you could actually see it on telly. It looked like it was just after a motorbike had after gone over the middle, and just it looked atrocious in the middle. But they're coming up. Am I right in saying now this is where we need just come up this year.
Yeah, Galway blitzed the first division now. In fairness, last year they won it with nearly 10 games to spare. It was honestly,
really?
And they reached the semi-final last year. They nearly lost out to Bowes at home. So they are a decent outfit. They've got a good blend of youth and experienced League of Ireland players, and their manager, John Caulfield, has been the Cork. He was Cork manager when they won the league a good few years ago, like back to back. So I think they'll be a dangerous outfit. They won't be a team that'll be just looking to stay up. I'd say they will be trying to challenge for Europe, or at least they'll be looking to be very comfortable in the league this year.
And you know, their first game at home as well, like when any league, any team is promoted, they're always up for it. Like obviously they're up for the season, but your first game at home, you get, you know, you get pats, you get a big draw, you're on the telly, you know, it was, you know, it's big. So yeah, it was really, really good and important result.
Well, it just goes to show, like as I said, I was watching that game, if Connor's getting man of the match, it means Galway played well. The centre back getting man of the match, they were under the cosh. As soon as they scored, Galway came out and had a real go at them for the rest of the match, really. Pats looked dangerous on the counter attack, but yeah, Galway looked like a decent outfit. It's going to be hard to get points off up there.
Yeah
so I'll lead into the other results around the league now. So if you don't know by now, I'm Bowes Mad, I'm a member of the club. So I was at the game there on Friday at Daly Mill Park. It ended 2-2. I'll give a little mini match report, I suppose. Bowes came out firing, playing really well. The first goal was scored by the new man, the Estonian, Stein Rencourt, and it, honestly, it was a lovely goal. The interplay between James Clark and Rencourt, it was like nearly a 1-2-3, and then Rencourt slotted it into the top corner. It was a really, really nice goal, and perfect start to the season, you were thinking. But Sligo, in fairness, they came back into it. Bowes kind of dropped off a good bit. And they got the equaliser only about 15 minutes later. Lovely goal again, to be honest. Now, I say that the finish was fairly fluky, but the build-up play, and there's a lovely reverse pass around the corner through one of the Bowes defenders. The finish was a bit lucky, like it hit off the keeper, came back off your man and went in, but the build-up play was honestly excellent. And then Sligo took the lead after that, just before half-time, a killer when you're a Bowes fan. Corner came in and it just dropped outside the box and Hartman picked it up. And it's one of these goals, if you're a neutral, if you're a Sligo fan, you look at it, it's a lovely goal. He got past two or three players, but it was a packed box. He actually did really well. He created a little bit of space inside, jinked inside and slotted it underneath the keeper. But from Bowes' perspective, I mean, he's gone and beaten three players in a packed box. You'd be very disappointed. Then after that, like it was, unfortunately, like last year, our year, the performances weren't great, but we were kind of grinding out results, and it was kind of that kind of feeling again. The second half, it was a bit passive, weren't really taking that many risks, and it wasn't until the last 10 minutes Bowes really started going for it, and the second goal, the equaliser to snatch a draw, was another actually really nice goal. Bowes played out wide, and Dylan Connolly played a lovely cross in, James Clark met it and he just put it back across the keeper. It was a lovely goal, but overall, I mean, Sligo struggled last year and Bowes at home, this is kind of a fixture you would have wanted to start the season to get going. So the 2-2 draw, okay result, I suppose, but performance was a little bit worrying. And also, Bowes, literally, not even joking, only have two senior centre-halves starting the season, and they lost Rob Cornwell after 30 minutes to an ACL injury, so it's...
And what's that... Like, you're saying they only started the season with two centre-halves. Surely that's bad management.
Yeah, so I don't know the ins and outs, I'll be honest. But from the rumours, there's a bit of a power struggle between the manager and director of football, and that's causing friction. So basically, Pat Fenlon, used to manage Bowes back in the day, won a good few titles with us. He's bringing in players, and a rumour, Declan Devine's kind of saying no. The manager. Okay. So there's something not working there, and I believe the transfer window ends on Friday coming up. So
it's still open. I didn't realise
it is still open. Yeah, okay. But like there's free agent signings. They had a Polish lad, Christian Novak. He's a free agent at the moment, so I wouldn't be surprised if they pick him up to get the reinforcements in, because that's a bit of a disaster, I'll be honest.
Do you want to fly through the other results there, and then we'll have a little quick word about the upcoming fixtures, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, so the other results, Derry beat Drogheda at home 2-1. Derry this year, they've kind of piggybacked, you could say, off the old Dundalk lads, Pat Hooban, who was a prolific goalscorer for the last 3 years, been top goalscorer in many seasons. He picked up his first goal to make it 2-0. Boyce made it 1-0 at the start of the second half. and actually probably goal of the week. If you haven't seen it, check it out. It is Evan Rears, turns out to be only consolation free kick. It was about 35 yards out and he deceived the keeper, put it the keeper's side, but it was an absolute rocket. It came off the crossbar and in. So that'll be all over the League of Ireland socials if you want to check that out. I'll just go through the last few results. So this game was on the telly on RTE, which was the champions, unfortunately, Shamrock Rovers. They played Dundalk 1-1. Another actually excellent goal in this game came from the Dundalk frontman, Galan, who whipped a free kick into the top corner, crashed off the crossbar. But Rovers, they dominated the game throughout and they got the equaliser with half an hour to go through Aaron Green. From watching the highlights, kind of a standout player was Conor Noonan, who every set piece he took, it was whipped in, it was pure danger, and that's where they got their equaliser from. So, I mean, Bowes are level with Rovers after 1 week, so it's all not too bad.
But if you're in around Rovers at the end of the season, you'll be doing all right. But after the first game, it's probably a bit early, but you're clutching
there. You'll take
it. You'll take it. You've no choice, yeah.
They're a measuring stick, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
They started last year fairly slow as well, and then...
Didn't Bowes start fairly well last year? We got 6 out of 7 or something like that. Am I wrong in saying that?
And didn't Rovers not win 6 out of 7?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
There was, I think after the first round of fixtures, so if you don't know, they play each other 4 times, and I think Bowes won 8 out of 10 to start off, and they had an 8-point gap over Rovers after those 10 games, and... that disappeared fairly quick.
Rovers play Bowes in Bowes and beat them? I think it was 3 or 4-2 or something.
That was kind of the start of the,
and that was
the beginning of the end.
Which was very early on because I was watching that. But you could always, you know, you could feel it even then, or you could even see it, like they are superior, or certainly were last year, and they've obviously they clawed them back in fairly handy.
Yeah, I mean, Rovers kind of have Bowes' number now after the last 2-3 seasons. There was about 4 or 5 years ago where Bowes would constantly beat them, but now it's turned around, and when we were beating them, they were still winning titles, so they're getting the best of both worlds now, unfortunately. And then the last result of the weekend was newly promoted Waterford, who came up through the playoff last year. Their manager is former Bowes manager Keith Long. They picked up a 1-1 draw against Shells, who had a good season last year.
Yeah, and am I right in saying Waterford went 1-0 in that game?
Yeah, 1-0 up. 1.5 times. Breaking ball, yeah. Asamoah, he was also on the team of the week. He showed great pace to get by. Now, it did take a nick off a Shells defender to go in, but it was a nice individual goal. Mm. And then Sean Boyd got the equaliser for Shells, so Damien Dustman start off with a draw. Away against Waterford, honestly, not a bad result. Again, the two teams that came up this year, they're not going to be like a UCD last year where they're gone. Mm. These two teams are fairly well financially back, so it's going to be a dogfight, and it looks grim when you're a Bowes supporter. You see the first fixtures, and you're looking at there's not all the teams are going to be very, very competitive this year, so you can't really slip up early.
Am I right in saying Galway are the Man City of the League of Ireland? It seems I heard about the Comer group are backing them with loads of money. Let's see, let's see how they get on.
Fixtures for this upcoming week.
Well, let's talk about the big one, which clearly is, and it is a big one, not just because of we had Conor on. Pats and Bowes. What's your feelings on that?
Who's at home? Pats.
Pats are home.
Pats are home. Yeah, not great after the first round of fixtures. Obviously, it's a rematch of the FUI Cup final last year. We won't get into that. I literally cut short our holiday to go see that game, so
not a great idea.
It cost me a lot of money, and I just end up crying anyway, so the big game, that would be the highlight, the marquee game of the week. Pats and Inchicore, lovely little ground, Richmond Park. Lovely,
proper
classic football ground. Four sides, it's a lovely atmosphere down there. So unfortunately, I'm not going to the game.
You're going to a worse game,
or even fortunately, I'm not going to the game. Yeah, I'm going to a worse game. I'm going to go see United play Fulham. So I cannot make that.
Jeez, that's a bad weekend. That is. Could you not cut that holiday short?
It might cost me more money.
The weather is meant to be atrocious again. I've said atrocious loads of times already. A bit meant to be bad this weekend. So I think it'll be another Friday night like we seen last week in Galway, which will obviously affect or potentially affect the game, so it'll be interesting. But the pitch should be a bit better, in fairness, rather than Galway, so that might make a bit of a difference. What's your projection for that?
Prediction. 1-0 Bows, Keely on goal.
That is cruel.
Oh. No, but seriously, my God. I would absolutely snap your hand off for a draw, so I will go 1-1.
Is that heart or head you're saying, though?
That's all heart.
Yeah.
It's all heart.
Well, realistically, head?
Head, like...
5-0.
No, not 5. I'd say Pats would win by 2.
Mm.
It's just Bowes missing centre halves, and we've already touched on Akili in the air. He won everything last week, so he'd be the vocal point in the attacking set pieces as well. So I think Bowes will really have to do their homework and get real dirty to try and get a result even out of this one.
What do we think? Are we going to give our own? We may as well give our own. I have
no idea.
Either right. Well, I thought I know the Premiership, and I don't. So we may as well. Might get something right here. I'm going to say, I'm a Bowes fan. I'm going to say 3-0 Pats.
Some Bowes fan.
Well, that's my head, not my heart. My heart says I want them to go. I'd be like you, but I'm being.
Yeah.
After watching Pats on Friday night, it's very hard to predict because the weather was shocking.
Mm.
They look dangerous. That midfielder, I can't think of his name. I think he's bouncing around the league. Pats have for a few years now.
Forrester,
yeah.
He's a touch of glass.
Yeah, he was looked dangerous on the break. Yeah. Absolutely dangerous on the break. I'm going to go 2-1 Pats.
Yeah, that's not a bad prediction. I suppose I'll run through just the...
Give us up the rest of them.
Yeah, the rest of the fixtures. So, Drogheda are home to Waterford this Friday. Dundalk, they play Galway United. Another, you could say, probably marquee game is another Dublin derby is Shells Shamrock Rovers.
All right, that's
in Talca.
Duffer will love that.
Yeah, he'll be giving it the big
one. He loves the league.
He'll giving it up to chest bumps.
These are all Friday night.
Right, let's fly through the prediction then. Right, so what's the next one? So we had.
Sorry, Drogheda Waterford is the first one there.
Right,
Drogheda Waterford. Who are you picking?
Who?
I'll actually go for a Waterford win.
I go 1-0. Not that it matters.
I'll go. Who was it?
10-9.
Drogheda Waterford. Yeah.
We'll go Drogheda then.
Drogheda home.
Hold on. Well, I'm giving an actual score.
He's going away.
Yeah, score. Yeah. Okay, draw. I'll say draw. Yeah, Grant. We're not giving a prediction.
Oh, yeah.
Score.
We're not
that we're not that I gave Super
one,
6.
I gave 1-1, and you all went draw.
That was the last one.
Okay, go on.
Dundalk, Galway. I think Dundalk, home win.
Yeah.
Yes, Dundalk.
He's going to follow us. And I'm following you.
Like a parrot. Two parrots on my shoulders.
Yeah.
Shells, Shamrock Rovers. I will go for a draw. In Talca.
No, I've got to go Rovers.
I go Rovers.
Let's bring the young man in. We've Killian Owens here. Who are you going, Shells or Rovers?
Rovers.
Yeah.
Rovers, right. I think we're all going Rovers, are we?
No, he said Shells.
Did you?
No, draw.
Draw.
He won't. Just because he won't. Yeah. It's like you with Man United. Just won't.
No, I think I can't see. You know, it's not like a disaster and Rovers dropping points at home, but it's not great. They're good enough to bounce back, so I think it might be that.
I suppose official picks for Pats, Bowes. I'll have to go Bowes on the predictions.
Say that again.
Pats, Bowes.
We not already done that one.
Oh yeah, I said Pats all day long.
Oh, sorry.
I said 2-1. Yeah.
Sligo Derry. I would
Sligo Derry.
Yeah, Saturday. Sligo play on the Saturday.
How did Derry do last week?
They won 2-1 against Drogheda at home. See, I'm actually into this League of Ireland and stuff. I even remember that. I couldn't remember my own name a minute ago. Sorry, what was this? What's this week's fixture?
Sligo and Derry.
Sligo Derry.
Draw.
Derry.
Sligo.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Right.
Are we all just doing the opposite?
Listen, this is just like looking out into a field for me.
So, is there any more fixtures? No,
that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Okay. So, I suppose we'll move on to last week's fixtures for Dunboyne. So, as we'll shout them out, there wasn't a very lot of fixtures due to all home games being off with the weather. So, we had on the Saturday away, we had the under-11A won away to Ashbourne. Under-11B lost away to Maynooth. Under-11F won away to Maynooth. Under 14B won 6-3 away to Maynooth. I think everybody was just playing the Maynooth.
The Astro probably could get the
Astro. Yes, the Astro, that's it. The on to Sunday then, the under 17s won 4-1 away to Marino. Good win for the 17s. Under 11s had a draw with Marino. That's the MGL. under 9 girls lost away to Malahide. Under 11 D lost away to Holt. Under 8 C, I can never figure these ones out, they're mad scores because they're twin games. Let's say they won away to Maynooth. The under 10 B won away to Donnymeads. Under 11 C won away to Swords. Under 11 D won away to St. Edith's. So a clean sweep for all them. Under 10 girls lost away to Swords Celtic. And that's all the fixtures or results we had from last week. The weather's been brutal, hasn't it?
Yeah, terrible. I mean, senior teams have had to get their games moved to Maynooth now. It's just the pitches can't hold up with the weather.
What do you think of this, Scott, this summer football? Do you know anything about it?
Yeah, so look, it's kind of piggybacking off the League of Ireland. League of Ireland's been summer football now for, God, since I've been going, so nearly 20 years now. Personally, I'd be for it. I just think the weather is so crap during the winters. And I know just from a senior side of it, lads are missing every week for whatever reason. So I don't see the big drawback to summer football is that too many lads will be on holidays and games will be called off. But I think that just happens all around the year. So I wouldn't be like totally against it. And I just think more games will be played.
There's pros and cons to it. I do agree. I'd imagine we're the only country probably, or there's very few countries like us in Europe where actually we're not in line with our league, their national league set up. It's bonkers that we're not in line with the League of Ireland. No matter if you're for winter football or summer football or calendar football, whichever way you want to call it, the fact we're not in line is mental. Anyway, bringing in the summer football, I am for it. There's definitely loads of pros and loads of cons. Like, if we bring in summer football, for example, this year, we wouldn't have a pre-season because we'd be in pre-season now and we can't even get a league match on. So we wouldn't have a pre-season with the weather, but we can predict the weather. So there's nothing we can really do there. Problem is then when you go in, there's no actually football in summer because they either call off July and August or it's June and July. I think it could be July and August. So I've heard rumours it's June and July, which I think would be bonkers. It'd be better off July and August because you will get people away in August. It's cheaper to go away anyway for the summer months of August. Then the problem you have there is, I see when you come in, you have to play on bank holidays. You're just going to have to play on the bank holidays because we're already coming in now to Paddy's Day and Easter on top of each other. If we're only starting a season and we're missing 2 weeks, like, it's not great. You're not going to get a pre-season. You start the league, you're already missing two bank holidays. Then you're going to go into the May bank holiday. And you're going to go into the June bank holiday. Now you have also an August bank holiday if you're on or off. You have an October bank holiday. Although you're going to have to play these bank holidays. Mm. We're just going to have to play them. Or we won't get any football at all. What I suggest that we should do if we do go summer football is when we start, we should ramp in the games midweek early. Because you're going to finish your leagues then in October. So God knows what that weather's going to be like in October. So you're trying to get cup finals in October, you're trying to get leagues finished in October, the dark nights are in. How are you going to do it?
And then you also have the NDSL and the DDSL taking their teams, I don't know, for a certain weekend, so they might be missing matches as
Interleague
well.
Interleague matches,
Interleague, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Interleague matches.
What happens there?
I wouldn't be calling it summer football, because they're not going to play in the summer.
No, it's calendar football.
Calendar football, yeah. Like, you're not going to play in June, July or August. It's probably going to be July and August. So yeah. Then you have September, October. You're not going to play in November, December, January, February. Then you're back March, April, May.
Which is a long time. That's a long time off.
That's a long... So you're going to have many months off because you're going to have June and July off. Then you're going to have November, December, January, February. That's 6 months.
Yeah, I don't think it's an easy thing to implement. I mean, the only...
Like 6 months out of 12.
Yeah.
That's if the weather goes with you.
That's true too. I mean, I suppose in terms of the summer, you can get a lot more games in the midweek just because the evenings are longer. I just think the winter football, I think it, not that it has to be scrapped, but it's just, you know yourself now, towards the end of the year, the fixture congestion then is just crazy. I mean... From March to June, then there's nearly two games a week, I know, from the senior setup, and it's just crazy. You get injuries, lads missing, games we called off. It's just an absolute mess. But I don't think it's going to be, as you said, Paul, it's not going to be an easy thing. It's not going to, you click your fingers and all of a sudden, here we go, we've got this brand new lovely calendar football. It's going to be the best thing ever.
Yeah, you're going to get the same arguments off the same people. The people that are giving out that we're not playing because of the weather are going to be the same people that are giving out, well, I've no squads because everybody's away. You're going to get the same people complaining. Mm. Oh, we can't play because the weather's too bad. I can't play because my players are away.
Can't feel the team.
Yeah, what do we do? I have to say, I went out to East Meath to watch a match on Sunday morning. That pitches were playable. Now, I've heard they put 80 grand into the pitches, and it's 80 grand well spent. They were on this weekend, and they were on last weekend, and you wouldn't think there was a drop of rain on them.
That's mad. That's
the
very
pitches
good.
Were excellent out there. Maybe that's something we could be looking at. But we need funding.
It also depends on how many games they're looking at.
Like, well, they're on every week out there.
I know. Like, they can have games on every week, but like how many... Like, is there like a 10 o'clock game at like 12 o'clock? Well, you know, is there heavy usage on the pitches?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they've a lot of teams out
there.
They have, all right, okay. They've a lot, like, they pitch game on after game.
Okay.
And
that wasn't cutting up or anything?
No, it wasn't cutting up at all.
That's mad.
I was very surprised. Mm. But sure, it all comes down to money and funding and, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. Anyway, when we move on to part two of the show, bring Connor in.
Yep, perfect, yeah.
Okay. So let's bring in our guest now, Connor.
Yeah, all good, lads. Cheers. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure's all ours. The boys are very excited to have someone of your calibre on the show, but before we get into any questions, I have to ask you a question myself.
Yeah.
Is it Pats or Kerbs?
Pats or Kerbs? No, it was Kerbs when I was growing up.
Posh.
And that's the
posh.
End of this show.
I think I didn't ask a few games that down the years. So.
Yeah, outside of Connor's gaff, definitely. Yeah. And I never won.
Well, we'll let you offer it if you're calling it Kerbs. It's definitely a Pats in my house, but we'll go with it. Anyway, come here, me ask you, Connor, let's bring us back, if you don't mind, to start your career. Where did it all start for you?
Yeah, so I think schoolboy, if you want to go back that far, we started off with Kevin's, was there for a couple of years, played with Dunboyne for a year. And then from under 13s onwards, I was with Shells right up to the first team. So I hadn't many clubs underage, but again, they were the three main ones that I was with.
You were, what age group were you when you were at Dunboyne?
I think it was 11s or 12s, I think it was. One of the 13s when I went to Shells. The only reason I remember that is because we won the All-Ireland that year with that 13s team. So we had a very, very good team. But I think it was under 11s or 12s when I was at Dunboyne.
Very good. Trev, you had a question there for that, had you?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're obviously going to link in on the Dunboyne side of it. Who would have been your coach or coaches and what players would have been? Don't mention Scott now, bar from the decent players, you know. Who would have been with you?
No, I had Billy Jones and Ray Whelan were the two managers.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I left and I was kind of caught in a bit of a limbo of where I wanted to go and stuff like that. And to be fair, they met me and said, look, you're going to come enjoy a play with your mates and stuff like that. And to be fair, I did. I was playing up top for most of the year in midfield as well. So I've gradually worked my way back down to centre half. But no, they were the two and I had a great time. I was playing with all the lads that I was in school with. So, you know, I was playing football with them, was playing GAA with them, was in school, so it was a really, really good year.
And how did you find at the time, Connor, with the GAA? Was it, were you asked to pick one or the other, or were you always soccer, or were you tempted to go GAA, or what way did your career lead you?
Yeah, it's a funny one. I just tried to play as much as I could. I played GAA, I played football, I played golf as well. Me and Scott and other lads as well, we're up in Blackbush most days during the summer, so I kind of tried to play a bit of everything. But again, it kind of came to the stage of my career. I remember it so well. My debut for Shells was against Cove at the end of the season, and we had a guy, I think it was a minor semi-final or 21 semi-final, and I had to choose between the two because they were on the same day, and I chose obviously to play with Shells in my debut, and that's where I stuck with it from then.
Could you know what age group that was?
That would have been, no, that was the senior level with
Senior level, sorry.
Yeah, senior, yeah. No, that was making my senior debut, so it's worked out well. But again, I always would lean towards the football and soccer kind of side.
I think it was a big question. I was like, that's a tough one to be asked to put in that limbo, yeah. Wasn't it? Like,
no, it is. And left? Again, they lost the game match as well, so it looked a bit worse. But again, you have to be selfish. And you have to do what's right for you. And again, it's worked out well for me, so I was delighted with the way it's worked out.
Before we go on, I know we're going to hit into senior level and stuff, and I know myself and Trev are coaching at a younger age group. We have the under-13s. Mm-hmm. What guidance would you have for them kids, if you had that, and could you give them any information or, as I said, guidance?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to go through. I think the main one, I only said, because I was in St. Peter's there the other week talking to the kids in first, second and third year and stuff. I think they're at the good age that they can play as many sports as they can. And this is something I've touched on as well before, is, you know, teams are making lads decide between football and GAA and making them pick one at such an early age, whereas we have the advantage in Ireland, you can play as many sports as you can and you learn different things from them sports as well, do you get me? So again, I think that's the main thing, is just try and be as active as you can, and because you will learn, you'll get stronger playing GAA. It's a little bit more physical at times, you can bring that to your football, vice versa. So again, I think that's one of the main things to focus on with the football. It's, again, just try and learn as much as you can with each session. You know, nothing's ever going to be perfect. You're not going to be perfect every session, but just try learn as much as you can and just enjoy your football. But I think that's probably the main one.
Brilliant stuff. I'm going to bring in Trev there. Trev, is that anything you want to add on to that?
It's more a question for Scott about Connor. Was it obvious at an early age? Like, I mean, it sounds like I wasn't one of these people now, but there's always one of these players that I'll try to give this position a go. And sounds like he's already covered it, centre forward, midfield. Now he's playing back at centre back. Was it fairly obvious that he was one of them players and he was always going to be going places?
Yeah, really obvious. I mean, the amount of times he'd play World Cup singles out is his green, and be me and him at the end, and let's just say I'd never win, so it was just obvious Connor was like gonna be playing football at a high level. I mean, even at Kevin's, you played a year up. I was the same age level as him, and Connor played a year up, and he was well able to. And it was just obvious. Even you knew the school matches. Was this the school matches where you started to play centre half for the first time?
Yeah, it was. I think it's because it was kind of a case where we didn't really have many defenders. We had so many good attackers as well in that team that I just kind of, not sacrificed, but I just said, right, I'll play there. And that's where I kind of started playing the skill games. And with Shells as well, they said to me, look, we'll try a centre half. And I brought into the skill games as well.
But that was it. Like, it didn't matter, like, wherever we needed him in the skill games. And that's where Connor would play. Like, it was so obvious. And I don't think I played with you in Dunboyne. I think I was off in like Luke and Lisa.
Remember that,
And I'd come down then on a Sunday. I think you guys played Sunday, I played Saturday, and I'd rock up to Dunboyne, go watch the game, and I might be like 5 minutes late or something, and someone inside like, oh yeah, Dunboyne 3-0 up, and Keely's got two. And it's just like, it was every weekend. It was so obvious. Like, it was a decent level like we were playing at Dunboyne, but you could tell that like Connor was going to play at a much higher level very soon. It was just so obvious from the get-go.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that as well, because a lot of the lads now, some of them don't even play sport, but some of them still play Gaelic. There was a lot of lads, and it's quite obvious as well, there was a lot of lads in that team that could have played at a really good level as well, but played different sports, gave it up. But again, I think the proof is in the town itself. There's so many talented sports people, especially in football, that have come from Dunboyne as well that aren't really heard about enough, in my opinion.
It's a great point, because we've spoken on the podcast over the last number of months, Connor, about, you know, having that player, and we are a community club, and absolutely, yeah, that's first and foremost, and it's about inclusion, but it's about also recognising that the certain talents and certain players that have, not only have the drive, but also have the ability, and it's very, very important that we actually make sure that they're not forgotten. You know, they'll get where they want to go, but whether we're part of it and we bring them as far as we can. So it's vital. Like, you mentioned the GAA as well. It's the same in the GAA, but, you know, we're obviously focusing on the soccer, but it's hugely important. Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Brilliant stuff, lads. So that brings us into your senior, you made your Shells debut. Who gave you that debut?
It was actually Kevin Doherty, my drawing manager last year. He brought me up, right. So I know him very, very well. I've said this so many times. He used to be my postman when I was younger, so I know Kev a long, long time. But yeah, he gave my debut. I was training with them the whole year while doing the leaving certs. So at the end of the season, he said, look, I'm going to put you in, and obviously maybe debut. And again, it was funny, I came back across him last year as well.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a small world.
So leaving cert, you would have been, what, 17, would it be?
It would have been 18, I think. 17, yeah. 17, and then 17 making my debut, and then 18 doing the leaving the year after, because I turned 18 in December.
And who was that debut against, can you remember?
It was against Cove, 1-2-0. That was probably one of my best moments of football so far, was making that debut. Again, I wasn't in front of the crowds the Shells get now. I think there was only about maybe 300 people there, but it was such a good feeling.
Wow, amazing. So, how long did you stay with Shells, Connor?
So, I was there the following season. Kevin left. There was a lot of problems with Shells, and I think he had enough. And then the end of that season, I left. I ended up joining Cavan Teely for 3.5 years, I think. And again, it was one of them moves. It was just, I needed to get out and play senior football. That was the main aim. And again, I think I came away from those 3.5 years with 80 odd appearances at senior level. So that stood me big time as well. I had some really, really good years. We got to the playoff semi-final one of the years as well. We lost to Drogheda in the end, but we had some really, really good teams, and I played with lads like Jason Bourne as well. He was there in my first year, Bowes legend. So, you know, I met a lot of lads there, experienced lads, and it was brilliant for me.
Trav, do you want to come in on that one?
Not really. Look, I mean, Cavan Teely is well known for a serious outfit. Like, they're a well-organised club, and you always hear about Cavan Teely doing well in all kind of cups and leagues. So that's a fair move. From there, where did you go then, Connor? So you went up.
Yeah, so it was COVID came, and obviously I think we only played 11 games after the first kind of wave came. Excuse me. And I got a call from Ballymena up in Northern Ireland, and moved up to there for 2 years. Again, unbelievable club, lads. I didn't even know of them before the move, but they took me in like I was one of their own. We had some really, really good memories. Got to an Irish Cup final, playing in Windsor Park, lost 2-1. If we had won that, would have had European football. So again, I had so many good memories up there, such nice people, and I can't speak highly enough of them as well.
Yeah, that's a hike, isn't it? Ballymena's right up there. I know you said they took you in, but was there, you know, you're playing against the likes of Linfield and stuff like that, were you getting belters off any of them?
Yeah, now listen, Linfield are obviously one of the big dogs up there. Laren now as well have started to come in the last couple of years, they've heavily invested in. So it was a tough league. It was a lot of travelling as well at the start. I ended up moving to Belfast for 6 months as well towards the end before I came back to the League of Ireland. But again, had some really, really good memories there, scoring against Linfield as well, beating them 2-0 at home and stuff like that. So it was all a really good experience.
And how would you put the standard from the League of Ireland to the Northern Ireland League? Is it there or thereabouts? Is there a big gulf in between them, do you think?
I think there is at the moment. I think it's a lot more physical up north compared to down here. I think the game is a lot more advanced down here, and I think it is growing up in Northern Ireland. But again, I think it's a good, 7 or 8 years behind the League of Ireland at the moment, particularly with attendances and stuff like that.
It's
always
kind of been that way, hasn't it? Isn't it, Connor? In terms of
it's obviously down to population as well, but it's massive up there, the football. They love it up there, and again, it's growing, but again, it'll take another couple of years before all that starts to really take off, in my opinion.
So where did you go from then, Connor?
Yeah, so it was January last year. I got a call from Drogheda. Kevin rang me and obviously showed interest and stuff like that, and it was a really quick turnaround. I think it was maybe a week and a half, and it ended up going through. Played my last game against Carrick Rangers, helped the lads get to the next round of the cup, and ended up playing with Drogheda last season as well. And again, it was unbelievable year that we had. You know, everyone kind of wrote us off. I was only laughing towards the end of the season. I've had screenshots on my phone of people saying, Drogheda finishing last, Drogheda finishing last. And again, we proved so many people wrong. And again, I loved it. It's such a great club, and it was just a brilliant year all around.
Would the comments like that, Conor, is that something, I know personally you'll probably take on, was that something like you stuck on the dressing room wall, but you stuck it on the wall to yourself, if you know what I mean? People telling us we're going to finish last, it was the wrong move for me. Is that, you get a little bit of pride to go, do you know what? That was excellent. I'm delighted I went, and I'm delighted I proved them wrong. But did you use that as motivation, them screenshots like?
Yeah, again, it's stuff like that. You tend not to read it, but you're living in a world where you see everything unintentionally as well. You know, that sort of way. You don't have to search anymore. But again, it's that kind of spurs you on, because people just write you off from the outright, personally and as a team, as a collective as well. So again, it was nice to look back when we secured safety, to look back on that and just have a laugh and just say, look, I knew we had a good enough team to stay up. But it was going out and just proving the point, and we did that, I think, very, very well.
Trev, do you want to bounce in there?
Drogheda, I could be wrong, but yeah, amazing season for you. Was it, am I right in saying you got Player of the Year up there?
Yeah, so I think there was two awards. Dale got the club's Player of the Year, and I got the fans' Player of the Year as well. So again, Dale had a really, really good year. So I'm a little bit jealous, but I'll give that to him.
I'm looking at it then, I suppose, obviously, you're in Drogheda, you had an amazing season for all different reasons, for, you know what I mean, obviously, it was a challenging year, but I think it probably with being up north and playing that physical side of stuff and getting stuck in probably helped you with that kind of style of football. Coming then to your current team, so how did that come about? Before you even, obviously, we'll talk about it, how did that come about and what was the process there?
Yeah, so it happened last summer. There's a thing, and obviously I think it's the last 6 months of a player's contract, that clubs are allowed to get in contact with you. So I had talked to John before, and I think he wanted to get it done last summer, but Drogheda were never going to sell me at that stage. So again, he kept in contact, and again in November, I kind of took a break, 2-3 weeks off from the football, just to kind of clear my head, and he got in contact with me again, and we had a few meetings, a few phone calls, and it kind of just fell into place. It just felt like the right fit for me.
I think, Scott, just a personal note, I'm just going to write it down here. Next time the likes of Conor comes available, Dunboyne need to be in there. Like, seriously, we missed a trick there. Gee. I mean, he would have came home, his homecoming. Do you know what I mean? Him and Phil Darcy. Yeah. Jeez, I mean, we missed that anyway, but look.
Maybe even Bowes. Bowes missed a trick there.
Absolutely. Well, I don't even want to talk about that. Yeah. So moving on to your current team, and obviously when you're starting a new season now, and I'm sure you're looking forward to it. You've had a couple of friendlies. How have they been going? I think you played Moctis as well. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, I think my legs are still recovering from that Moctis game. The pitch was so heavy that day. It was ridiculous, but. Now we had a few friendlies, and again, obviously we played Rovers last week. That was, it was disappointing. But again, I think that was the first time that 11 had played together in pre-season. So we tried something, it didn't work. And look, it would have been nice to win the President's Cup, obviously, but it's not the end of the world. So again, the main focus is on obviously Galway away tomorrow. And now we've a really good side. We're flying fit, and. I've no doubt that once we apply ourselves, we'll have a really, really good season.
Are we looking at, like, I mean, Pats last year, as a Bowes fan, obviously in the cup final, like, you know what I mean? They done very well. They're excellent team, and obviously they've really kind of got some brilliant signs, including yourself. What's, like, I mean, it's a stupid question, I know you're going to say the league, but that's your target, isn't it? Surely you're going for the league, and Rovers are there to be shot at.
Yeah, big time. But again, I think it's Rovers to lose in sort of a way. I think, in my opinion, like, I've gone to League of Ireland games. Me and Scott were mascots at Bowes all those years ago. I think they're one of the best teams I've seen in the League of Ireland throughout them years. I think everyone can agree with me. I don't think many will disagree, but it'll be hard. to do that. But again, you have to have confidence going in to do it. We have the cup as well, and obviously we have Europe. I think the club are very disappointed last year of how Europe went for them, obviously losing their first round. So that's another aim as well, to go further on that. So again, it's to win as many trophies as you can, and we'll see how far we can push it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. As I say, we're like the season itself, I think, you know, with the League of Ireland, it's really grown, you know, popularity. And you know, you only have to look at the TV now, you know, the amount of games that are going on Virgin Media and obviously RTE, and then you have the League of Ireland. So, I mean, it seems like it wasn't that long ago that it wasn't well followed, but like everyone seems to know all the players. My young fella as well, he'd know, like when he heard you were coming on. No disrespect, he was like, oh yeah, no, like, and so it's really brilliant to see it grown the way it is. So hopefully it's a good season, and hopefully it's a great season for yourself, no doubt.
Yeah, 100%. And as you said, again, I think the league is growing now, and I think it just needs that backing now from the bigger parties up above to kind of help with facilities and stuff like that to keep it improving. Because again, you know, as Bows fans, that you are kind of turning away people a lot of the weeks. You just can't have enough tickets. So it's the same with Pats as well. There's only, I think, maybe 400 or 500 tickets left for home games on general sale, which is nothing. So again, I think once that kind of comes in and there's more backing financially, I think it can grow to however big it's going to grow.
Absolutely. Which would probably lead us into our next question. Well, my next question anyway. We'll have a little discussion if you don't mind, Connor. Yeah, who do you think should get the Ireland job?
Do you know what? I've read so many comments that I've lost interest of the whole thing, because you see one thing, you see Lee Carr's getting it, you're saying Neil Lennon's getting it. It's so hard, but in my opinion, it's going to be a very difficult job for whoever takes it anyway. I don't know if you've seen the fixtures, the next like 7 or 8 fixtures competitive. Like it's going to be a very, very tough job. And no matter who gets it, I think it's going to come under criticism regardless, because I think the teams that we're playing next are just miles ahead of us. But again, I think the favourite that everyone's talking about is probably Lee Carsey. I think he has really, really good experience with the 21s in England. So I think that would be my pick if I was to go by any of the managers that are available.
The correct answer there, Connor, is the one that will pick you.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Although, but you're not.
Jose Mourinho was
come on.
So I'd love to see that for a few games.
But you're not.
Richmond Park on a Friday. I'd love to see that too.
That'd be great. That'd be brilliant.
But do you not think on the other side of it, like, you know, you mentioned there looking at the fixtures that are coming up. In a way, the reason why we're getting those fixtures is because we have had a poor run of it. So obviously you're dropping in the ranking. So, you know, that comes with what we're getting. But on the other side of it is, no matter who comes in, you know, yes, they'll be under scrutiny. But realistically, we're playing these teams that are top 10, 12, 15 in the world. They're probably going to be given the time, but they're going to have to give them the time. So they're going to have the honeymoon period, maybe a bit longer than you would normally get. I think, you know, it could be something. Mr. Kerr should be looking at that again, like you maybe or something like that. But no. But like, I genuinely think that whoever comes in will have a bit more leeway. And but certainly we need the style of football that, and we need to see it. You know, some sort of a pattern of play. That's my opinion.
It's going to be an awkward one, lads, isn't it? Like we're going to. It's nearly, as I've heard it saying before, you nearly want someone who will go long, get his results, but someone who will actually play football and it's somewhere in the middle. So. It's like you kind of want, yes, we'll play football when we have to, but we'll go long, get the results when we have to, because nobody wants to play all Jack Charlton style football anymore. But it's the only way we're going to get results is to be hard to beat.
Yeah, 100%. And again, it's one of the things, I think it needs to be long term. I think, especially with Stephen Kenny, I know it didn't really work out in the end, but I mean, even after a year, people are saying he's not good enough, and he'd only played or managed a couple of games, you know, that sort of way. So I think as from fans and, you know, the whole country, I think patience is probably the big one as well, because it's not going to be a quick fix. It's going to take a couple of years to get back to maybe the standards we had all those years ago with competing and stuff like that. But again, a lot of the young lads that we have coming through as well, they're still only 22, 23. So their peaks haven't even come around yet, you know, that sort of way. So I think patience is the main thing that we need as a country.
Paul, you just said it there. Sorry, Paul, you just said it there about you know, going long sometimes and knowing how to defend. I know someone that can play up front, and then if we're defending the lead, they can stick them back centre half.
Just Gary Doherty, it is there. Colin.
Just saying. We'll take it. Well, if we're not going to sign for Dunboyne, like, you know what I mean, you may as well play for Ireland. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. I think, in fairness, I think what Stephen Kenny has given us is probably, as you were saying there, Connor, a bit of realism into the. I know he's gone now. It didn't work out. He was under pressure at the start. I thought needlessly at the start. It ended up, the house fell down on him anyway, but I think a bit of realism is going to come into the Irish support now and go, lads, we're not where you think we are. We're going to have to start somewhere and just try build on it. Whatever that is, and whoever's trying to build a house, I think the support of what Stephen Kenny has given us, if nothing else, is realism.
Yeah, 100%. But even, like, I'm watching the Irish 21s as well. Like, some of the talent that's in that.
Oh, yeah.
Is unbelievable. Again, if you blow them into the first team over a couple of years, the talent is there. It just needs to, again, patience, and you need to have that sort of way of playing. And again, I've no doubt that we will be competitive, but it's going to be, I think, a long term sort of process rather than a quick fix.
Yeah, I think we're actually probably 5 or 10 years behind, like, other countries, because we only really have we only set up our League of Ireland youth system 5 years ago now. It used to be like only 18s, 19s. Like, kind of, what was the earliest age you could have played League of Ireland? Like 17s, was it?
I actually would have been 19s. This is when I was only in the academy, so you had to actually be, I think, 16 to play in the play under 19s. So that held me back for another year. But again, only the 17s, 15s, 13s only come in over the last few years, so it's still only fresh, as Scott said there.
Is there any reason for that, lads? I never quite understood it. Why are we going 15s, 17s, 19s? Why is there no 16s, 18s? Anybody know?
I think it's to have that sort of, you're playing a year ahead of you, above you. I don't know the thing behind it, but I think that would be the only reason why they're doing that. I think to have more teams underage as well put so much financial pressure on the clubs, and they physically can't pay it. So maybe that's one of the reasons why as well.
Yeah, I'm just thinking as well. We, in our country anyway, we're January to January now. So when you're actually playing against the English or that, they could be September to September, so they're actually a year ahead of you. They could be nearly 6 months ahead of you. Yeah, that's probably the reason. Just came to me. Anyway, I've another question for you, more of a personal question. Well, not a personal question, but you probably hear this all the time, but who would you like to play with, Connor? If you were to play with one player in the world, who was the one you went, oh, do you know what, would I love to play with him?
Oh.
Yeah, obviously you haven't heard this all the time.
No, there's so many. You could go for the Messi or Ronaldo, but I go with a centre-half. I think the only one that stands out to me now is probably Van Dijk, Virgil Van Dijk. Just watching him, I know he's come under scrutiny the last couple of months and stuff like that, but I just think in his prime, when he was with Liverpool first, with the Champions League, the Premier League, I think he was one of the best centre halves I've seen play. So I think playing beside him, you wouldn't have to do much.
Good shout. I'm a big Celtic fan, so I've actually seen him when he was with Celtic. Yeah. And you know what, I remember looking at him and saying to the lad, even before people even heard him, wait till you check this fella out, his Rolls Royce, he's better than anything I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I've seen him live, and it just looked like he was always in second gear.
Yeah.
And even when he was running, he didn't look like he was putting an effort in, he was bombing past people.
No, he just glides, he's brilliant at what he does. There's not many, especially in Liverpool as well, that we haven't had many decent centre backs probably since Sammy Hupia and stuff like that. But now watching him again most weeks is unbelievable.
It's funny, I was going to ask you that. You've already kind of answered it. Outside of League of Ireland, who's your team? So I presume it's Liverpool.
Yeah,
of course
it is. I
had to ask. No, it's funny because Sammy Hupia would be one of my favourites. When I'm gonna play League of Ireland in a few years' time, and if I was asked that question of who would I like, I would have said Paul McGrath. Paul McGrath would be definitely someone that.
Paul McGrath as well. See, I wouldn't be able to watch. I would have obviously watched, but I wouldn't have remembered much of him. So
thanks for that, Connor. Yeah, cheers.
Yeah. Thanks, Connor.
I'm not really too old, but again, yeah. All highlights that I'm seeing.
You better watch some highlights, right? Pat's legend, Paul McGrath.
Yeah, he is, in fairness. Yeah.
People will be coming up to you, and if they come up to you and say he looks like he plays like Paul McGrath, you're doing something right.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not listening to this.
Well, he's on a hit list to get, so you never know. Kabir, another question for you. Where's the maddest place you've ever played?
The maddest place?
Don't say Dunboyne.
If I was to have a guess, I think I'd know where it'd be.
There has been many. I'm trying to think now. I'll probably give you this one. My debut for Ballymena, I played up in Carrick Rangers. The only reason it was mad was because it was during COVID, so we couldn't use the dress rooms. So we had like a green tarp with like around the metal fence in one of the stands, and we had to get changed in the stand. And this was in, I think it was the 7th of January or maybe debut, so I think it was 2 degrees. No showers, nothing. So I had to drive back to Dublin, no shower, played in Baltic conditions. So I think that's probably one of the maddest places that I've played purely because of that reason.
Can I ask you another one on that? So these kind of small little quickfire questions. Who is one of the most difficult players you've played against in the League of Ireland so far?
I actually said this recently. He's just joined back Sligo today. Max Matta was very, very good. It's just his movement. He'd be in a game and you wouldn't think he's doing much, but then he'd pop up and he'd feint to go front post, he'd go back to the back and he'd just not in a goal and you're like, how has this fella done this? So it was him and obviously Rory Keaton, who's signed with us now as well. They were the two of my standouts that I played against last year.
So would you rather come up against a big physical forward, a big bruiser, rather than someone who's always on the move, keeping you on your toes, you're constantly looking over your shoulder?
I'd actually rather play against someone who's going to, give you a bit as well, a bit of a bigger striker, because again, the sort of nippy strikers that are running behind the whole time can be a bit of a pain. But as I said, the last thing you want to do is run back towards your goal. So again, my size and stuff like that, it's getting physical and going for headers and stuff is something I don't mind, but again, when you've a small little striker that's constantly moving, it can be a bit of a pain.
What height are you?
6'5".
Yeah, I sense why you like them battles with the big striker, so
yeah. It makes sense.
Come here, here's one more for you. I have anyway. What's the best dressing room you were ever in? Best crack, best dressing room, the one you loved?
I loved last year in Drogheda. I think that was one of the top two, but my second year in Camtealy, that's the best dressing room I've ever had. I've still talked to, I think, a good 50% of the lads that were on that team. It was funny because obviously we're part-time, lots were in college, so you train on a Tuesday and then, Wednesday you might be out with the college and you'll see the lads there as well, so it was a funny time. It was good crack, but I think that second year in Camtealy was probably the best dressing room that I've been in.
Super. Trev?
I was just going to say, any of the players, so still likes of Camtealy, you've mentioned it a few times now. Is there any players that you would have played with in the likes of those teams that have gone on to play League of Ireland or have most of them given it up or whatever? What's the crack?
There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. They're kind of scattered everywhere around the league. A lot of them I don't think are playing now at the moment because they would have been maybe 26, 27 when I was there. But a lot of them went obviously with Bray. When Camtealy went in with Bray, they kind of moved there and stuff like that. So there's still a few lads playing around the League of Ireland. A few have dropped down to Leinster Senior League as well. So there's a lot of them still playing at a very high standard.
Very good.
I just want to say best away ground in the League of Ireland, not in terms of you like to play at, and why is it Dalymount Park?
Because he keeps getting the beat balls.
The best one, I'm not just saying this, but I actually love Galway Stadium. I think it's a lovely stadium. I think the obvious answer is Tala, but I'm not going to put that in there. I've always loved Eamon DC Park, and Waterford's ground as well is another one. I think Waterford's ground is lovely. I know it has the electric track around it, but it's just a lovely setup up there.
Well, that's me done for the questions, lads. Trev, has got any more questions for Conor before we wrap it up?
No, but I give a funny story. Actually,
I was going to ask you to give us something. It's too nice. Yes, it's too nice. Yes. Yeah.
It's
not even about Conor himself. It's about his dad, Brennan, a big character. Geez. I'm sure you all know him. So you know, when people ask you who's your footballing hero. Well, my footballing villain is Brendan Keady after the 2021 FAI Cup final, because Conor's brother Josh was part of the squad. And I was just enjoying myself, you know. It was random Sunday, I think, down the back of Brady's, having a few pints with the lads. And Brendan just taps me on the shoulder, say, a week after the game. He just opens up, takes something out of his pocket, opens it up, and it's the FAI Cup final medal just looking at me. And ever since then, he's been my footballing villain. He knew exactly what he was at. I'm pretty sure I was wearing my Bowles jersey and everything. He got a great laugh out of it, of course. I'm sure you could tell, Conor.
He's probably still carrying that medal around him nowadays.
Oh yeah, he hasn't given it back to Josh, I'd say.
No, he hasn't. Josh hasn't seen it. He's just been carrying it. He didn't win much when he was playing, so he has to carry something around.
Oh! Right. Gauntlet laid down there, Conor. And you have it, like, I mean, looking at the fixtures coming up for you, obviously you've Galway in your first game, then you've got Bowes at home, so obviously you'll get 3 points out of the two games anyway, that's for sure. And then you're on to Derry away. How do you think the first couple of games, like, I mean, they're always going to be difficult no matter what. You can't, no matter what way you put them on paper, but I'm sure you're looking forward to it, yeah?
Really looking forward to it. It's not an easy start at all. Obviously Galway tomorrow, then Bowes, and then we have Derry on the Friday, and then we're travelling to Waterford on the Monday, both away games. So it's not an easy start whatsoever, but again, you have to play everybody throughout the year. But again, we're confident, we're fit, we're ready, and again, it's up to us now to go out and do it on the pitch.
Yeah, well, I for one, as I say, I've been watching the League of Ireland for a while, and I've been growing more and more into it. And I like the fact that we've had yourself on, and it's brilliant. And having a local lad, I'll be definitely keeping a close eye. And you'll certainly be my second favourite team. How about that? I can only give you the second favourite, but it's the best that. I can I'll do. Actually, my third favourite: Liverpool, Bowes, and then Pats. But look, you're in the top five. You know,
is Dunboyne not in there? No.
Oh well, I mean, if you're talking community club,
you got him there, Conor.
Conor, thanks a million for that. Yeah.
No, I appreciate
it. Right, boys, I think we'll leave it there. Conor, it's been a pleasure as always. Thanks very much for coming on. We wish you all the best in the season ahead. Hope you get the 3 points at Galway. Hope you get the 3 points against Bowes.
No.
Hope you keep getting 3 points going. That's from my perspective. I'm personally going to look out for you now. I'm going to be a Pat supporter for the season. So I'd like to see a big centre-half getting a few goals.
There we go.
Paul, what team do you support in the League of Ireland?
I'm bouncing around. I was Rovers, then it was Shells. Now I'm going to Pats.
Oh, right. Okay.
Right, fair enough. I'm traveling, not like the gypsies.
Yeah. No, look, we appreciate your time. Genuinely, it's been brilliant. In fairness, when we spoke to Scott last week, he mentioned your name. And obviously that was air in, and you know, in an instant you're here, so we really appreciate that you've you know what I mean, there's been no messing around. We're really delighted to get you in, and you know what, as the season goes on and you're doing well, no doubt, and you keep fit, we'd love to have you back on and just maybe do a mid-season one if you're up for it, because
yeah,
really enjoyed this. Brilliant.
And one thing I always plug as well for ourselves, from a Dunboyne, we'd love to get you down to do a session with the kids, if you don't mind, Conor, whenever you're free.
Yeah.
So I'll nail you. He said again, yes, we have it recorded.
Yeah, no, we're in the morning, so again, I'm free all evenings, apart from Friday evening. So again, I'd love to get involved again. It's something I'm looking to do now in the future as well. So anything I can give to the kids, any knowledge and stuff like that, I'd gladly do that.
That's brilliant.
Brilliant. Yeah. Magic.
Brilliant.
Toy him in. Scott, toy him in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we have him now. Have him live. On video.
Right. So, all the best, and we'll see you soon, Conor, mate. Right, cheers for that.
Cheers, lads. Appreciate that. Thank you.
Welcome back to part three. That was a great interview with Connor. Let's jump straight into this weekend's fixtures from the English Premiership.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm actually on my phone here, sorry.
Not prepared. This is what I have to deal with every week.
I'm actually just texting someone here, so somebody really...
So you want us to recut this?
Right, okay. No, we're granted. So, Saturday, we have no early fixture.
Is there a game Friday night?
No.
Okay.
There's a game on Friday night, the championship. It's Leeds and Leicester, but that's...
Shout out to Kev, who's going to that.
Yeah, Kev Ryan, yeah. Right, so 3 o'clock on Saturday, Aston Villa and Forest.
Actually, was a penalty. Yeah. Aston Villa and Forest.
Mm. Draw.
Villa home win for me.
Killian?
Yeah, Villa win as well.
I'm going Villa.
Okay, so I'm the only one that hasn't.
So what have you gone, Trev?
Forest. No, I said draw. Sorry, draw. Brighton Everton. I'd eat home win. Brighton.
I'll go draw. Draw.
Killian? Everton win.
Everton win.
Yeah.
Okay.
Granddad. I'm going Brighton.
Brighton, yeah. Palace, Burnley.
Who did you go, Killian? Sorry.
Everton win.
Palace, Burnley, probably a game nobody wants to watch. I will go Palace, win a home.
I'll go the same.
I'll go the same.
Draw.
Draw for Killian. Killian's going to get a hit rate of everything here.
Yes.
Well, it depends on what he gives for a certain game, but we'll know from then. Man United, Fulham.
Game you're going to, miss.
Yeah, I'll be there with my green and gold scarf on me. obviously, Man United win all day.
I'm going to go home as well. Killian.
Fulham win.
Away. Killian. And you know where Trev's going with this.
I'm
going
to go Manchester United.
Are you?
Yeah, move on.
It's the only time you'll
Have a good weekend.
I'm kind of thinking, if it goes wrong, I'm happy out. So
we're all going at home, except for Killian's going away.
Yeah.
It's all up there in the kidneys.
Half five, Bournemouth and Man City.
What a game. Away win for me.
Yeah, I can't look past City.
City win.
City as well, yeah. But that could be interesting. Bournemouth at home. No. Head says City, but it could be a draw there. Maybe there's a late game on 8 o'clock. Arsenal
all day long.
Yeah, Arsenal home. Newcastle still have a good few injuries.
Arsenal,
Newcastle. Yeah, a strong team, but like Arsenal are just unplayable at the minute. It seems, you know, they're getting the results for their team in form. So we have Sunday then, Wolves. At 1:30, Wolves, Sheffield United.
I'm going home win.
Sheffield United. Can't buy a draw, never mind a win. I'm going to go Wolves. You're not going to agree with me, no?
No, I agree. Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Home?
Yeah.
Wolves as well?
Yeah, I'm Wolves as well.
I'm going Wolves.
It's a cup game. There's a lot of people that listen to this are Arsenal United fans. They don't know what this is. It's a cup final. They wouldn't be used to it. It's Chelsea versus Liverpool.
Do you know who the holders are, Trev?
Hmm?
The holders of this cup.
Oh, the ones who are not in it this year. And look where that got them. Yeah. So it's our first cup of the season, so I'm going to go Liverpool.
No, we're only doing Premiership fixtures.
Okay, but right, we won't count
no,
this.
No, we're not even putting it in.
So you all know. Okay,
Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Chelsea
in
the cup final.
Chelsea.
Come on, Chelsea. Right, and Monday night, West Ham, Brentford.
Hammers for you. I'll go Brentford.
I'll go West Ham.
Okay.
Who's at home?
West Hammer. Shocking form, under pressure at home. Brentford.
And you're going Brentford?
Yeah, Brentford all day, yeah. Kind of the wheels have come off. Come off West Ham, haven't they?
Right. That's all the fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, boys, I think we'll leave it there for this week. Massive shout out to, as I said, Tesco's and Jared, Sarah, Greg and Magna for getting behind the podcast. We really appreciate it. A massive thank you to the listeners as well.
and tune in next week for the more exciting talk on This Is Football. Killian, did you just let one go there?
Nice way to sign off.
Nice way to sign off. Good luck.